Today, in the front line of the rental crisis. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. I'm joined tonight by Morgan Cox. Morgan, welcome.
Hi, nice to speak to you.
Now, Morgan, you have really created a storm. You were on the ABC Q&A the other week, and you bowled a very straightforward question at the people on the panel, because you're in the rental sector, and you've got the rental crisis right in front of you there. But I wasn't very impressed with the responses from the panel. And I think a lot of people weren't too, because you've come the face of the problem. So let's talk a little bit about it. What was the point of your question, and what reaction did you get?
My question was trying to get to the crux of the issue. I wanted to get them to look at an actual solution. They often seem to be sort of playing word games, and I really want an actual solution. And the way I see it, the birth rate is below the replacement rate. So more homes should be coming available for the Australian people, except that we're taking so many immigrants that even all the houses we build are being taken. So I suggest that we could cut the immigration rate to match the available housing as an immediate way to ease the pain of millions of people, including myself and my own family.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about the pain, because you made the point that you are in the rental sector and you are under huge pressure at the moment. You're working multiple jobs, trying to keep all the balls in the air. And of course, rentals have just been rising through the roof. My own analysis shows that, we've got 76% of those in the rental sector struggling with cash flow pressures, and you're one of them.
That's correct. I heard that there's around about 3 million people on the brink of homelessness at the moment. And that's why I felt it was so urgent. And that's why I try to be so direct about the question I asked in Q&A. I think everyone I know is, some people are homeowners, but they're struggling because of interest rates. But virtually everyone I know would be in a similar position to me in terms of just can't get any more money. We're already working two jobs and trying everything we can to save. We're not spending, we're not going out. And that can't be good for the economy either. But we're all in a similar boat, and there has to be millions and millions of us. I'd really like the government to do something about it.
Yeah, well, my calculations are about 2.3 million households across Australia are in the rental sector and are suffering with cash flow pressures at the moment. It's been rising dramatically in recent times. And you make the very important correlation question between the demand for the rental sector and, of course, the massive migration. We had very high migration that's very much been a significant feature of the recent government and the previous governments. But interestingly, when you posed this straightforward question at the panel in Q&A on Monday, well, they didn't really want to nibble, did they?
Well, no. I guess the easiest thing to do is nothing. And I'm going to say that's where they were going. And to be fair, they're politicians. It's kind of their job to just answer with the sound bites that they've already prepared. And I did ask them a pretty hard question. I didn't put it too politely. I was as direct as I felt I could be. I put them on the spot. But I'd say the result I got could best be described as gaslighting, really. It's quite staggering that they were making jokes. They were actually making jokes. And literally millions of people are suffering. I think there's a huge number of people already homeless, and I feel quite confident that in the coming year, I heard we took 200,000 foreign students just in February. So with the zero additional homes, I suspect that we're probably going to be in a position where millions of people are facing homelessness just this year.
Absolutely. And of course, after the program, you had a huge response. I mean, not just a stat, you know, a massive response.
Actually, someone else posted it up. I didn't actually have an X account at the time. But yeah, it went quite viral. I do believe that first post got 1.2 million views, something like that, followed by literally thousands of other posts and copies. And then there were many news articles as well. I was on Sky News as well. And I've been talking to quite a few media personalities as well. I'm also talking to a couple of economists and politicians because, as I said, I'd really like to actually do something about this. It's good to talk about it, of course. It's good to get it out there and have that discussion. But at the end of the day, we need to actually do something. What I said might very well come true.
Yeah, and I think there's a really important point here because there was one news article that said it was your 5 minutes of fame, right? But that is the wrong way to think about it. You are putting your finger and you're highlighting a critical issue that's been around for a long, long time. And politicians have really swept it under the carpet. They have really not wanted to engage with the real critical issue that this is for many people. And it's hitting so many people, you know, families and people struggling around the country. Now, you're based in Sydney, I think, aren't you?
That's right. I'm on the Central Coast.
Right.
In Sydney. My family has also been pushed out of Sydney for the same reason. We're all living in the sort of western suburbs. Now the house prices, even on the fringes, are in the millions of dollars to buy, and rent is consistent with the house price. So it's quite staggering, really. Mm. And I do believe it's causing other issues as well. I mean, as I mentioned, I feel like it's going to be hurting spending. It's got to be hurting productivity. I mean, if you're struggling to survive, how productive can you be? Who can start a business while they're being financially crushed? I really think it's damaging the economy in a whole bunch of other ways as well. And again, super urgent to actually deal with it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, my analysis is it's not just the economic consequences in terms of people not being able to spend because they don't have the money to spend, but there are also social consequences too. You know, people not being able to actually do the things they want to do, you know, build the families they want, all of those things. And of course, there's a lot of research that says people have moved away from the Sydney region simply because they can't afford to live in the Sydney region.
Yes, and that's the situation I'm facing as well. I'm a highly skilled technician. I've been doing my job for 20-odd years, and if I leave Sydney, I'll be one of the few people who's able to do that, and I'll be forced into some kind of different job because it's got to be done in Sydney. And I feel there's a lot of other people in similar situations, skilled workers, technicians in different fields, and that they'll be struggling as well, and if they have to leave, then they might be forced into lower-skilled jobs, and then that productivity, those skills will be lost.
Yeah, you've made a really important point because we're not talking here about just people on really, really low incomes. You know, there are people who are well-qualified people earning relatively good incomes and actually still working multiple jobs to try and get by and still not making it.
That's including myself. Yes, very well. I until a couple of years ago, I was doing fantastically. I was doing quite well. Even through COVID, we survived reasonably comfortably. But the cost of living has gone up so much, and I suppose with that, my business expenses, and I can't just raise my prices. My customers will simply not do the jobs. And I'm just in a situation where there's only so many hours I can work in a day, and a situation where I have to compete in terms of housing. It's an untenable situation.
Right. Now, just coming back, you've homed in specifically on the migration question, and it's worth just making the point that politicians don't want to talk about migration. You know, there's almost all of them are saying, well, you know, we need a big Australia. But the point is, if a big Australia puts a lot of pressure on the resources in the country and on the housing in the country, and it drives up the rents for those people already in the country, it looks as though we are favouring the people coming in than the people who are living here.
That's correct. And I feel like it's not even I don't think it's even, it's not some kind of conspiracy or something. I think the bottom line is it's just unplanned. It's just completely unmanaged. I think it's just they're just following the procedures that they have, and they have no actual overall strategy at all. And I think they haven't for many years. So as bad as it's gotten in this last term of government, I feel like this problem's actually been coming a long, long time. And it's just sort of coming to it. I guess COVID sort of pushed it over the edge, and now it's sort of a slippery slope, I guess. And it seems to be getting exponentially worse very quickly.
Yeah, well, I've been following this for quite some time, and I said 20 to 30 years ago that we were laying the foundations for a housing crisis that was coming, and I think it's unfortunately now arrived, and yet the politicians don't really want to take it that seriously. And, you know, they can talk generically about people, you know, or numbers, but when you actually see real people, real households, I engage with them all the time through my surveys, I find this something which is frankly unacceptable from a political perspective. So what's your message, you know, to the politicians? What do you want to actually get across?
Well, I guess the first thing is I'd say they need to sit up and pay attention right now, because something very bad is going to happen. So if they talk about it now or they talk about it later, they're going to talk about it whether they like it or not. I would give them a certain amount of credit, though. Well, I feel the people ourselves are a bit responsible. Perhaps we haven't been shouting loud enough. Although, you know, myself included, many of us didn't see it coming until recently. But right now, as many people as possible need to get up and actually start shouting about it, because many, many, many of us will be facing homelessness. Not to mention, like I said, the other economic consequences of that. And of course, the worst part is, well, for me, the worst part is the vulnerable. Like, for instance, in my local park, the older women that are, I guess, almost retirement age, they just have nowhere to go. They just aren't jobs that pay well enough for them to have a home, period. And disabled people and children. I have a one-year-old. I've got three kids, but obviously for a one-year-old, living in a tent is not even an option. So the social consequences are extreme. You'd probably be in a similar situation. You'd be able to see it by the numbers.
Yeah. So I've run my survey since 2001, and I do the analysis down at a postcode level on every month, and I've been tracking this rise in the number of people. And you're right; it's not just very low income people. A lot of other people are also caught as well now. And what I find is I've been lobbying government for 30 years on this, and they're not, up until very recently, they've not really been listening. And that's despite the fact that I think I felt this was probably the most significant issue, you know, even back then. I remember going and talking to Tanya Plibersek 20 odd years ago about this, saying, yeah, this is what we're going to see. So the problem we've got is that politicians predominantly are interested in getting re-elected. And of course, they're also getting a lot of lobbying from the big end of town, from corporates and, you know, big business saying we need more workers and all of those things. And that's why we need the high migration. And Treasury says, well, if you have more people coming into the country, what that means is then you can actually drive the taxes up. That means that we can actually get more taxes, and that's more money. They're missing the big picture here.
Yeah.
That they're crushing ordinary people in the crossfire. It's a deliberate policy. It's wrong, and it needs to be changed, which is why I believe it needs to be absolutely there as part of the election campaign. And then beyond that, we need to continue to apply pressure as broadly as we can to those people who we think should be there to represent us, but often most of the politicians are there to frankly represent the big end of town, the relatively small proportion of people who are very affluent and are missing the big picture, that there are millions and millions of people who are suffering at the moment. That's got to change.
Did you see, I think the ABC, all over the ABC the last day or so, was plastered a report done by the University of South Australia that immigration of foreign students is not affecting the rental market.
Yeah, that's rubbish.
I think this Yeah, I think that in February we took 200,000
Yes.
foreign students just in February,
Yes.
and we've built zero additional homes. I think that their housing fund still hasn't built a single house,
Correct.
and they're saying that it's not affecting housing. That just doesn't make any sense on any level. Not to
Yeah.
mention the fact that the university that benefits from it is the one doing the publishing,
Funny that.
and I do believe it was a foreign student that did the actual study, a Chinese foreign student who in China advocates to travel to Australia. So you'd think that they would do a bit of fact checking, but apparently not. It's staggering, really.
Yes. Well, the point, of course, is that they were arguing, well, there's broader economic benefits. Well, frankly, the problem is there may be other benefits, but if you haven't got anywhere to live, if you haven't got anywhere to bring up your family, if you've been in Australia, and you've grown up in Australia, it should be feasible for you to have a reasonable standard of living and somewhere to live. That should be a base assumption, and we've blown it.
And it's
We
not just long-term Australians either, even the foreign students, even the people who live here already that are first-generation immigrants, they as well are facing the same problem.
Tell you something, the highest proportion of people by cohort who have a problem are first generation migrants to Australia.
Wow.
Right?
That's a really interesting thing to put
Yeah.
out there, isn't it?
And that has not, again, I report it every month, but that's the truth. So even a lot of those people coming into the country under the various schemes the government had, a lot of them are sort of students who stay as well as people coming in, a lot of those are also having issues. So it's not just long-term Australians, even the new migrants are having difficulties too. It's a
Yeah.
policy failure beyond all policy failures. It's disgraceful. It needs to change. Of course, we have tent cities now in a number of places around the country, and it's almost though that's normalized, and living in cars is normalized. It's unacceptable. It's un-Australian. And to
Yeah.
my mind, this should be the central issue for this upcoming election, not just one of those amongst many. This is the number one issue, the question of housing Australians and homelessness and what is really seriously going to be done should be the number one issue. So, Morgan, I want to say thank you very much for taking a stand and speaking out and, becoming the one of the faces of the problem, but also tabling some suggestions as to how it can be tackled. I think that's also important because just throwing, a spotlight on the problem, it's a really important first step, but there are levers that could be pulled if the government so choose. And that's the point that I want to get across from this conversation, that there are things that could be done if there was a political intent to do them, which begs the question, why aren't they being done?
Absolutely. I feel strongly that there's a number of things that they could do, including their own attempts, which seems to be building houses. But of course, that takes time, a long time. There are other things we can talk about. We can consider changing taxes. We can consider what we're doing about short-stay rentals, empty vacant buildings. There's many things that we can do. The reason I went straight for immigration is because I think that is the thing that they can most quickly at least limit the damage, stop the bleeding, if you will. I feel like that would immediately reduce the impact of what's happening, and then that would give us breathing room and time and resources to look at all the other things that we need to do. And in addition to what you're saying, I feel like I 100% agree with you. This is the number one issue, and I think the politicians might not realize it, but I think the people do. I think the people, if nothing else, they may even not be talking about it, but I think they feel it. Even people with mortgages, even wealthy people, are thinking about what's going to happen to my kids. Where are my kids going to live? So this is going to affect absolutely everyone in this country in every way. It's going to affect all kinds of things across the economy. It's going to affect healthcare. Obviously, living in a tent is not great for your health. It's going to affect welfare. Now, even people such as myself have had to resort to taking. I never even had a Centrelink account until recently, and I was forced to start taking money from the government. And all of that is being taken up because of this housing crisis. I think it really is the most important thing happening in Australia.
Well, Morgan, thank you very much for your time today. And I want to get this message out through all my social medias. I'll certainly be doing that because you've put your finger on exactly the right issue. And I want to say thank you for taking the courage, the time and the commitment for not just looking to help yourself, but to help also other Australians too. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you as well. Thank you.